State legislators have been on the move this year. One major trend that has been taking place, a push for flat taxes. In more than over 100 years of state income taxes, only four states have ever moved from a graduated rate income tax to a flat tax. But in this year alone, four more states might join. What does this mean for taxpayers? Are flat taxes actually simpler? And will we see more and more states follow suit in the flat tax revolution? Welcome to The Deduction, a Tax Foundation podcast. We're back from a quick break. Our editor took some much-needed time off and went to Hawaii, but we are back and ready to hit the ground running. Keep you all informed on the latest tax trends here in America and abroad. My name is Jesse Solis, host of The Deduction, and this week we are joined by our Vice President of State Projects, who sadly was outbidded this week when he tried to buy Twitter, Jared Walczak. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing great because I don't own and have to manage a social media platform.
Yeah, it sounds like a better life not having to own Twitter. I know it's been a busy spring for you, end of winter, early spring. State legislators are hitting the ground running. Have states mostly wrapped up or is some still going on right now?
We're still in the midst of session for some states, but a lot of states are either reaching the end or have, in fact, adjourned sine die. Most state legislatures, I don't think people always know this, most state legislatures have part-time sessions. They run for a few months out of the year. And in most states, April, maybe May, is really the end of that session. So a lot of states are finalizing the budget or already have done so.
Gotcha. And this could elicit 50 different responses, but from a general tax policy standpoint, how have things been going?
It's been a big year for tax reform. That's building on the successes last year. States are still flush with cash. They see significant future revenue forecasts, really looking good. And this is not just the federal aid that states have received. This really is forecasts of own source revenue growth. It's being tempered a little right now. Obviously, everyone is trying to figure out what the future holds, but states have been able to cut taxes and to do tax reform last year and this year. We're seeing a lot of that, especially in an environment where states know they have to compete with each other more than ever before. People are mobile. Businesses are more mobile than ever before. States are really watching what their neighbors are doing, and they've been responding to that in tax policy.
And there's been a significant, if I understand, focus on individual taxes this year, right?
This year and last. Last year, 16 states cut either individual or corporate income taxes. Almost all of those had individual income tax cuts. This year, we've seen a spate of individual income tax cuts as well, and really some significant reforms, some significant rate reductions, some focus on getting down to flat taxes, a lot of changes at the state level on income taxes.
You mentioned flat taxes there. Earlier this year, we had you on the podcast. You said you predicted this be another big year for tax reform. And now you're out with a new piece this week saying there is a big push for flat taxes. Before we even get into what states are doing, just define a flat tax for us.
We'll go with a very simple definition here. We're talking about a single rate individual income tax. The alternative is a graduated rate or a progressive income tax where different brackets of income are subject to different marginal rates. Flat tax doesn't mean that there's no exemptions or deductions or exclusions. Most of them have progressive elements, but all of the taxable income subject to a tax rate is subject to the same rate.
Okay. So, for example, someone making $50,000 is going to pay the same income tax rate as someone making $150,000?
That's correct. I mean, there'll be a standard deduction, there'll be different policies, but the rate on every dollar of taxable income is the same rather than there being a stair step on higher income.
Now, I know we here at the Tax Foundation, we like simplicity, and I feel you hear arguments for flat taxes a lot, that simplification is one of the reasons for it. Are flat taxes actually simpler, though? Is just having one rate easier overall?
They are simpler, but let's delve a little into what that means, because it's not that hard to calculate your taxes under a graduated rate income tax. Most states, if you go to the tax form, they have tax tables. You just run your finger along the lines, or frankly, honestly, you probably just do it online, right? You probably are using software and it's handling this for you. So when we talk about the simplicity, I don't want to focus on that. There's other forms of simplicity here. It's easier for taxpayers to estimate their liability and how it would change under different income scenarios. So when they're thinking about labor force participation, when they're thinking about investment, when they're thinking about where to move, you get a much better understanding and appreciation of what you're paying in taxes with a flat tax, that simpler tax. It's easier for states to make revenue forecasts that are reliable or to understand how different policy changes will affect their bottom lines. It's easier for businesses to be able to make long-term calculations. There's a lot to be said for a single rate tax. It is simpler, but we're doing more when we talk about simplicity than just saying, oh, we don't have to do one stage of calculation.
Yeah, that's a lot of good things you mentioned there in terms of planning and wanting to, you know, make sure investments are going to be there in the long run. But from experience, does this matter? I read in your blog this week, the first flat tax came about in the 1920s. Is that correct? Do we know if these actually drive the decisions that you're saying they are?
Yeah, so the key really is to understand what the margin of taxation is. When individuals choose to work more or to change what they're doing, to move, to invest more, what they care about for tax purposes is the tax at the margin on that next dollar of income or that next dollar of activity. The tax that you already are paying is already done. So lowering the middle rates, and that's good, that puts money in people's pockets. And obviously having more money in people's pockets has an economic effect. But if you want to talk about incentives, if you want to talk about changing economic decision making, it's the tax on the next dollar of income, that tax on the margin. So a graduated rate income tax where the rates continue to rise on the margin are more harmful for economic choice and economic decision making, and ultimately, therefore, economic growth. We really need to get that top marginal rate down. And what we see in states with a flat tax is, of course, they can have a lower top rate. I mean, it's a lower every rate, but that rate on the margin is lower. We also see, and I think this is really important for long-term economic decisions, is that an everybody's in single rate tax system tends to have lower rates because politicians are less likely to raise them. Mm. It's much easier to raise taxes on just a handful of people than it is to raise taxes when that rate applies to everyone. And this is really important, especially when we think about small businesses as taxpayers. If you're not aware, small businesses generally pay individual, not corporate income taxes. They're generally pass-through businesses. And the vast majority of pass-through business income is on returns of $200,000 or more. So when we talk about graduated rate income taxes, you know, 93% roughly of all of that income is going to be on returns with that. In most states, at $200,000, you're probably at or near the top marginal rate. That's what they're paying. Mm-hmm. And if that rate's high, there's some competitive disadvantages. So these flat rates help address that. And we've seen these flat rate states be pretty pro-growth states. Mm-hmm. We've seen them have more competitive rates overall. You know, there's a lot of advantages there.
Okay. Are there any other arguments for flat taxes? You laid out a lot of advantages there. You know, for good for small businesses, you know, we want to see mom and pop shop thrives, good for taxpayers, especially middle class who are, you know, more paycheck to paycheck. Any other arguments out there just for flat taxes?
The predictability and the stability of flat taxes are really important. Mm-hmm. When individuals and businesses are making location choices in particular, they are doing them for the long term, knowing that there is going to be a rate that's competitive for that long time horizon is really important. We also don't have to worry about things like inflation indexing. So some of the states that have kind of almost flat taxes, it's accidental. You look at states where the top marginal rate at Alabama kicks in at $3,000. Now, when they imposed that tax, that was more like $63,000. But inflation has eroded that away. A lot of states don't fully inflation index their graduated rate taxes. Flat taxes just take away this problem. So another positive about them.
To play devil's advocate, are there any negatives against them? Of course, anytime these happen, it's not always unanimous. Not everyone votes aye for it. Is there any reason to oppose a flat tax?
The debate is always about definitions of fairness. For some people, fairness is everyone pays the same rate on their income. So higher income people pay more, but they pay proportionally more because of their income. For others, fairness is that they pay disproportionately more, that a higher effective rate is imposed on higher income individuals. With a flat tax, that's attenuated. There is still a higher effective rate to some degree because you have some deductions and exemptions that are limited. You know, the standard deduction, for instance, some of the other deductions are going to be available. They're more significant for lower income individuals. But once you get to taxable income, it's all taxed at the same rate. For some, that's a selling point. For some, that is undesirable. And if you consider it undesirable, then it's a question of trade-offs. You're trading the economic efficiency of a low flat rate against the equity concerns that you may bring to not having a graduated rate. And different people address that in different ways. But I think we've seen a lot of states moving more towards flatter taxes, lower taxes across the board, recognizing that the economic gains of competitive taxes are really important for all residents and that that is in many ways more important than the graduated rate system that some politicians may prefer.
Yeah, and you've talked a lot this year about, and really the past 2 years, about mobility, about taxpayers really getting to decide more than ever where they want to live in this mobile economy that we have. So what states right now have either passed flat taxes this year or are actively considering them right now?
Arizona adopted legislation moving to a flat tax as of last year. And that was held up a little because there's a ballot process where individuals can choose to challenge a state law and to reconsider it. That is now not happening. So they will begin their transition to a flat tax, ultimately getting to a 2.5% flat rate. That'll be the lowest in the country. This year, Iowa adopted legislation that will ultimately bring them from an 8.53% top marginal rate graduated tax to a 3.9% flat tax. Georgia adopted legislation getting down to a 5.49% flat tax, and then hopefully bringing it down to 4.99%. Mississippi is heading towards a 4% flat tax over the course of a couple of years. And right now there's ongoing conversations in Oklahoma as well. Looks like they may be getting there too. And that's really significant. That's five states right there. Nine states mm-hmm. going into this year, nine states have flat income taxes. Only four of them ever transitioned from a graduated rate to a flat tax. We may get four legislatively this year and court clearance of a fifth from one from last year. Five in the course of about 12 months mm-hmm. compared to four over the course of the entire previous history of individual income taxes, which, by the way, the first individual income tax was imposed in 1912. So we are, you know, we are 110 years into this. And, you know, we may get more this 12-month period than we've had in the entire history to date.
Wow. Surprise, the Tax Foundation didn't throw an anniversary party in 2012 for the centennial of the flat tax. So you talked about, five states. That's significant. That's, 10% states doing flat taxes this year. Is this just the tip of the iceberg, though? Do you think more are going to follow, or is next year going to be a tax-like year?
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to match four states going to a flat tax in 1 year, which is potentially where we're headed, or even five if you count the court decision. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is the trend, that states are looking at lower, more competitive rates, that they recognize in this highly mobile environment that they need to do this sort of thing to compete. So that won't be a flat tax in every state, but we're clearly going in the direction of lower rates. I was just looking the other day. Over the last decade, 25 states have cut their individual income tax. Only five states have raised it on net over the last decade. And I think that's a trend that's continuing, especially with the revenues the states are seeing right now. They see opportunities to provide tax relief. And what's really important here, in most cases, we're not talking about cutting government. We're talking about reducing the rate of growth of government, sharing some of the increase in revenues with the taxpayers, rather than putting it all towards government growth.
Mm. And lastly here, you mentioned the courts a couple times, especially in Arizona. Some taxes are just met with legal challenges based on how state election laws, et cetera, et cetera. Does it really matter if a flat tax, though, is secured in a state's constitution? Is that something a state should strive to do? Or is it kind of just a case-by-case scenario here?
Yeah, so I think it's actually very valuable when state constitutions require a flat tax. We have that with a number of the states that already have them. Of the nine that we went into this year with, five of those are constitutionally mandated. Mm-hmm. And those have been very strong checks against legislatures that probably would have raised taxes substantially. Notably, just a couple of years ago, Illinois voters overwhelmingly rejected a ballot amendment that would have allowed a graduated rate income tax. And you'd think Illinois, liberal, progressive state, why wouldn't voters have approved this ballot measure, amended the Constitution to allow a graduated rate tax? Especially when politicians were mainly talking about high rates on, frankly, not them, not the average voter. It was on much higher income. But I think that the voters were smart. They understood that once the principle of graduated rate taxes was adopted, Illinois, being Illinois, was going to raise taxes pretty soon on just about everyone. Illinois has a 4.95% individual income tax rate. I guarantee you it would be nothing close to that if they had the opportunity to have graduated rate taxes. In fact, politicians were pushing for double-digit rates. There were some proposals that would be getting up into like the 14% rates. The main one was about 11.25% for small businesses, for instance.
Which would be very high for a state level because they're paying federal taxes too.
it'd be an incredibly high rate. And even if you say, well, we're going to start out by mainly having that on higher earners, I think that, you know, a lot of voters realize it won't be that long until middle income is going to be hit by higher rates as well.
Wow. Well, Jared, this has been fascinating, informative as always. As states continue their sessions, what can we expect from you in the future, in the next coming weeks? Going to buy Facebook?
No acquisitions. What we're going to focus on is the states that are still completing their budget processes, completing their legislative processes. There are a number of opportunities for significant reform. Like I said, Oklahoma is still considering the possibility of a flat individual income tax and doing corporate income tax reform as well. There are a number of states that are still figuring out whether they have the opportunity to do rate reductions this year, whether they have some structural reforms that they can do. And they're starting to look into next year as well. So I think it's, you know, even though we are towards the end of the legislative sessions this year, it's still an exciting time. And we're going to see some states in special session in summer with maybe another, you know, crack at tax reform.
So the race is still going on. To follow you for these updates, where can people find you online?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Jared Walczak, JaredWalczak. And of course, on our website, taxfoundation.org, I'm writing pretty frequently. We'd love if you all read there, follow not just me, but all of my great colleagues who are talking about so many important tax issues.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jared, thank you so much. We'll be sure to have you back soon.
Thank you.
The Deduction is produced by Dan Carvajal. To learn more about the Tax Foundation and The Deduction, visit us online at taxfoundation.org/podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Tax Foundation, as well as on Twitter at Deduction Pod. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on The Deduction.